Hi, and welcome to the Overflow Podcast. I'm Chuck Ammons, lead pastor of Overflow Church in Brandon, Florida, and we are here to help you receive the Father's love and to release it to everyone you encounter, everywhere. Wherever you're listening from today, your God adores you. I pray this message elevates and ignites your faith. On this podcast, you will find biblical messages to activate your faith so you experience the goodness of God and the greatness of your unique voice in His kingdom. To find out more about Overflow Church, visit us at overflowchurch.com or on Facebook at Overflow Church Brandon. We'd also love to encourage you to check out our book, Life in the Overflow, and its accompanying devotional on Amazon.com.
All right, I want you to pray this with me this morning and say, Jesus, you are good. You've given us so much goodness today. And you're not done. You have a word you want to speak to me. You have power you want to release to us. And I want it. Amen. Well, we're here at the very last week of our message series, The Lord is Our Shepherd. We made it, y'all. We're here at the end. And as we come to the very end of this, we're looking now with David, who has been walking with the Lord, recognizing the Lord like a shepherd, and he gets to the end and he is looking and reflecting on all the places the Lord has led him. In the journey of his life, he's seen God lead him to rest by green pastures and to walk beside still waters. He's seen God again and again lead him through dark valleys to come and sit at bountiful tables of victory. We said last week, David saw himself with enemies in the field all around him, shouting and raising their fist and pointing their finger, but that David himself found himself at a banquet table with his king, and more than that, that he was given an anointing to keep his eyes on God and his hands out toward his enemies until they could all become God's friend. And David comes to the very end of all of this, and this is where he ends. He looks forward from the moment that he's in to place his hope, saying this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If there is one word I could give to the state of a soul that is truly allowing the Lord to be our shepherd, I think that one word would be serenity. Serenity is defined as the state of being peaceful and calm and untroubled. That in the midst of uncertain and unfinished and even unclean stuff that's still being worked out, your soul can rest because you trust God's goodness and His mercy. Now, I'm convinced right now we are all longing for that kind of rest in our soul. Amen? Yeah, we want serenity. We want peace in the midst of our circumstances. But we've got a problem. See, it's easy for us as humans to forget the depth of God's love and God's pursuit and to lose sight of goodness and mercy. If I'm being honest, there's a lot of days that I'm a lot like Peter, who takes my eyes off of the Lord, my shepherd, and I put my eyes all around on my languishing surroundings. And I find that I'm losing heart, I'm losing hope. We overcomplicate the gospel with our conditions and our amendments and our beliefs of everything we need to do in order to be able to rest. And when we find ourselves there, if we're willing to be honest, we find that today when we're thinking about peace, instead of resting in it, we're working hard to claim it or cling to it through our plans, through our efforts, or through sheer force of will. And if we could see with eyes of our spirit, whenever we try to do that, we look a little bit like this. Take a look at your...
I got no leg room back here. Move your seat forward.
It's as far as it goes.
There's a mechanism. You just pull it and throw your body weight.
I pulled it. It doesn't go.
You want the leg room? Say you want the leg room. Don't blame the mechanism.
All right, Dad, we're 5 blocks from the house. Sit sideways.
Like an animal. Because of her, I have to sit here like an animal. Serenity now! Serenity now!
What is that?
Doctor gave me a relaxation cassette. When my blood pressure gets too high, the man on the tape tells me to say, "Serenity now!"
Are you supposed to yell it?
The man on the tape wasn't specific.
What happened to the screen door? It blew off again?
I told you to fix that thing.
Serenity now!
So I gotta tell you, we can see with the eyes of our spirit, that's a lot of us, a lot of the days, right? You come in, circumstances are good. I thank God. Circumstances are bad, and it's serenity now! And if that is you in any little way, I want to give three truths this morning that we find with David at the end of Psalm 23, that you and I would be able to rest in the fullness of confident peace no matter where you are on the journey today. That we'd be able to embrace today, where God placed us in today, without striving to escape or without wanting to explode. So three truths I want to give you this morning. The first one is this: if goodness and mercy are following you all of your days, you can be sure they are pursuing you today. If goodness and mercy are following you all of the days of your life, you can be sure they're following you today. In fact, let me say it a different way. When you perceive that goodness and mercy are standing behind you, it changes what you believe about what's standing in front of you. When you perceive that God's goodness and his mercy are standing behind you, it changes what you believe today about what's standing in front of you. So with this first truth, I want to change the way we see our present. See, many of us, we don't ever say the words, but we dread today. We wake up in the morning, we breathe deeply, we keep our head down, and we just want to get through it. And to this, David says, no, he starts with a promise. I want you to see the beginning of Psalm 23:6. He starts with this word. He says, surely. The word surely, it means truly or certainly. It's firm. It's established. This is an emphatic word that is given to point to confidence in something. It's Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount saying, truly, truly, I tell you this. What is he saying? You could put all of your hope in this. What I'm about to tell you is firm, and it's established, and it doesn't waver based on your circumstances. Surely what? He said, surely all of my days, no matter what's ahead of me, I can know that goodness and mercy are behind me. No matter what's ahead of me, goodness and mercy have got my back. What does that mean? It means when we wake up in the morning, you don't need to fear the bully on the playground in front that is bigger than you because you got the two biggest kids in school behind you. It's the picture. He says, goodness and mercy are following me. Some of us have lost the wonder of the hope of today, because if we're being honest, it just looks like continual battles and continual bullies that are too big for us. We look at circumstances that seem too big for us. Financial circumstances, circumstances at our job, circumstances with our health, circumstances with our mindset or a struggle or an addiction, and they just feel too big. And every day it's just like we're contending in the ring and we feel like we're just getting beaten on. For some of us, we're facing people that make life difficult or that break our heart. But if God's goodness and mercy follow you all of your days, then it means certainly that God's goodness and mercy are following you today. Which means when you opened your eyes this morning, God did not want you to come into today and grin and bear it. God wants you to look at today and proudly wear it. That's what he says, right? Don't grin and bear it. Proudly wear it. We've got to redeem today. Look what the Bible says about today. It says this, Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says this. God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. The author of Hebrews says this. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. It's not always going to be called today. But as long as it's called today, today matters. So encourage one another daily. Why? So you would not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Paul again in Ephesians says this, be very careful how you live, not being like those with no understanding, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we're living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day. What? Take full advantage of today as you spend your life for his purposes. If we could see from God's perspective, we would understand that today is the time of rejoicing and being glad. Today's a day for a celebration. Today's a day to thank God. If we could see from God's perspective, we'd see that today is a day to experience God's salvation. And I love that when it says that today is the day of salvation. You know that word means God's rescue, God's kindness, God's redemption, and God's complete restoration. And he says that he holds that for you as a promise, not tomorrow, but today. If we could see with God's eyes, we'd see that today is the day for encouragement. What does it mean to be encouraged? It means to get your courage back. See, today's the day for somebody where it's time to get your courage back because you keep looking at all the obstacles in front of you and you need to understand that goodness and mercy are coming up behind you, because when you understand who's standing behind you, it changes the way you see what's in front of you. There's profound purpose in today. God has things he wants to say to you today. God has places he desires to take you today. God has gifts he longs to give you today. God has grace that he wants to stop wrestling and finally make a home in you today. We've got to redeem today. And so I want to encourage you to do this right now. Just stop and everybody breathe in. And I want you just to ask this question. Breathe back out. I don't want you to die here. Okay, good. There's a lot of breathing in. That was good. I want you to ask this question. What do you have for me today, God? Could somebody just do that right now? Hand on your heart. Would you just say, God, what do you have for me today? I want to know it. What do you say for me today? Because God says that he has a present goodness for you to experience. He says that his goodness and mercy are literally waiting to prop you up right now. And if you perceive that, it will change what you believe. It will change your expectancy. So here's the question, hand on your heart. What is good around me today? What's already beautiful and delightful and joy-giving around me right now? We focus on the problems. We're so good at seeing the problems. God, where is goodness behind me? Where is goodness holding me up? Where have you been good to me, God? Open my eyes that I would see it. And God, where is your mercy being extended to me in this moment? Can you just see it? And see yourself seeing a promise from God. And I see somebody almost perceiving it, just pulling it down and saying, yeah, I'll take that one. That promise from God. You said this mercy is for me. I'll take it. God, what is good today? And where's your mercy pursuing me today? Now look at me. We desperately need, the reason we need to come together in community and remind each other of this is the enemy loves to get us in an isolation chamber, because if he can get us isolated, he can lie to us and discourage us. And then he can put a bad news feed over and over and over and over again, and we'll start believing it's reality. I want to give a word. This is not my message, but somebody needs to hear it. Some of y'all need to stop watching 24/7 news. Somebody asked me, you watch Fox News or CNN? I'm like, I read the Bible. And I'm not trying to be cute. But what I see on the right and the left is there's so much scapegoating and so much anger and so much poison. And if we put ourselves in that, and listen, for those of you that some of the older crowd, the news, let me say to some of the younger crowd, some of y'all need to get off social media and not be on there 18 hours a day. Because there's so much anger. There's so much that's going. Whose report are you going to believe? There's so many bullies that are trying to prop up in front of us, but who's behind you? Who's holding you up? So listen, one of the things I had to do just a few months ago to answer this question, what's already good? God told me I needed to customize my own app. I downloaded an app, and you could buy the purchase of the app where you could change the questions. He said, you're making a gratitude app. There's not one out here, so you're making one. I was like, okay. And he said, before you even eat breakfast in the morning, I want you to list 5 things that you're really grateful that I'm doing today. And I got to tell you what happened with it. This is crazy. Because they didn't start with, like, the sun's beautiful. No, that's not how this started. The way it started was I woke up in the morning, and I looked at my calendar for the day, and before I could even get feet on the ground, I was like, oh. Because there were at least 5 things I didn't want to do that day. Anybody relate with that? Yeah. There were things I was like, oh gosh, I got to do that. Oh, I got to follow up with that. I don't want to. And he said, change your perspective. Yeah. So this is what he told me before you get up. He said, I want you to actually look at what I'm doing in the midst of this, not what the enemy would try to do. And so I started things, and I would have a meeting with a difficult person who was really offended. And I would look at it and be like, okay, here we go. And the Lord says, there's an opportunity for my kingdom to come today, isn't there? And I said, yeah, there really is. There's an opportunity for forgiveness and peace and an orphan spirit to break today, isn't there? Yeah, and I trusted you enough to lead you in the room. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? And I was like, Lord, thank you. Right? I get to the place, man, there's this hard work I need to do. And he says, yeah, I forged you in a refiner's fire. So if it's hard work, it means I'm going to refine you a lot today. That's good news, isn't it? And so I started doing this daily. And what I started finding was the longer I've done it, I'm just starting to get into this regular rhythm. This has been months, but it's just starting to turn where now, actually, when I wake up in the morning, gratitude is more of the response. Because when you understand who's coming up behind you, it changes the way you see what's in front of you. That's the first promise for us this morning. The second one is this. And don't worry if that's you. We're going to give you a minute of ministry in a minute that you can do that. The second truth is this. If God's goodness and mercy are chasing you, they are going to overtake you. He's a far better runner than you. Come on. Isn't that good news? David's walking along and he's seeing and he's like, oh, lush gardens. and oh, still waters. And oh, we're going down in the valley now, and now we're going up a steep ascent. And then all of a sudden, he looks behind him, and he's being followed. He sees two entities following him, which he calls goodness and mercy. Have you ever been driving and suddenly feel like somebody's following you? Have you been there? You ever been driving and then all of a sudden you're like, I think something's going on here. And so then like you drive a little further, you turn left, and then they turn left. And you drive a few more miles down the road, and then like you're taking your route home, you turn right, and then they turn right. Now listen, I need to find out how many people need ministry like me because you've watched too many episodes of Dateline NBC. Has anybody ever been close to home when you're about to get home and you think somebody's following you and you intentionally change your route because you're like, ain't no way these crazies are seeing where I live. We got a restoration ministry. Go see Cindy. I love that because I've been times where I've done that and I'm like, and finally I'll pull off the road and then they drive by and it's like an 85-year-old sweet frail lady just going home from the grocery store. It can be scary to be followed. It can also be really exciting to be followed. Have you ever posted something online that really mattered to you only to find that one of your heroes, somebody you look up to, somebody that you really care about their opinion, suddenly likes it or comments on it, or they turn around, they follow you? Oh my gosh, when one of your heroes follow you, it's amazing. This word that David uses, to be followed, is an intense word. This is what it means in Hebrew. To follow, it means to run after, to chase, to pursue, or to hunt in order to catch someone or something. Goodness and mercy follow me. What? They're chasing me in order to catch me. Now, in the Hebrew, when they use this word follow in the positive, they would follow after a lost dog or a lost child that way, right? It's Liam Neeson having a particular set of skills, right? I'm gonna do whatever it's gonna take, and my child's coming home. But did you know in the negative, this word follow, they use the word follow to refer to a manhunt or an army at war. This picture of following, it's not casual. I'm on mission. It's an intentional sprint that says, I've got all the energy I need, and I've got my target, and I will not stop until I overtake you. I'm going to chase you in order to catch you. And this is what's really important. If we are like David on the path, seeing something follow, we need to know who's chasing us. He says, first, I see goodness chasing me. What does that word mean? It means this. It means what is pleasant, what is delightful, what is joyful, what is excellent, what is gentle, what is kind, what is helpful, and what is worthy. I want to say something to everybody hearing my voice. I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you lived, or what you have struggled with. I promise you, if there is breath in your lungs, you are being followed at this moment by a God with great intent. What is it that's chasing? It's his delight. It's God's joy. It's God running after you to say, help is on the way so you can live worthy. You need to know if you're running today that goodness is gaining on you. And he's going to catch you because he's a far better runner than you. It's better than that because goodness isn't running alone. God's coming after you with his goodness, with his joy, with his peace that you would live worthy. But it's also his mercy. Check this out. The word mercy, it means this in the Hebrew. It means a deep passion and burning desire to express goodness. You can't make this stuff up. Goodness is chasing you. What is that? That's God's delight. That's God's joy. And he's got a running buddy. What's his running buddy? His running buddy says, hey, you're going to get this so much. And like Travis said earlier, when it comes and fills you, you're going to have to shout. I'm the one that specializes in you expressing goodness and expressing joy. You have one coming to say, you're going to pour in and receive all of God's joy. You have the other one coming and saying, you're going to come and release it everywhere you go. You're going to be filled with goodness, and so you're going to express mercy. Check this out. God's mercy is a deep passion and burning desire to express goodness, kindness, mercy, beauty, favor, gentleness, and love to the object of one's affection, coupled with sorrow and compassion for their misfortune. This word in the Bible is probably my favorite. It's the word chesed. I'm going to teach you Hebrew. Say chesed. If you didn't spit on somebody, you didn't say it right. Okay? Chesed is God's favorite word to describe himself in the Old Testament. It shows up 244 times. It regularly shows up in the word loving kindness or faithfulness. And the reason this definition is so long is there's so many adjectives to talk about this being who God is. So who's chasing you? If you're going down the path, if you've got bullies in front of you and you're going and you feel like they're pressing in, but goodness and mercy are coming behind you, who's chasing you? Listen, it's God's very presence. It's his passionate gaze. It's his burning desire to baptize you in beauty and forgiveness and favor. It's his compassion to clothe you where you're weary. It's his anointing to come up around you where you're weak. And God's a better runner than you. If God's goodness and mercy are chasing you, newsflash, he's gonna win. But you say it doesn't always feel like that. Why? Well, here's where we need to recognize something very, very, very important about the scheme of our enemy. See, the Bible says that Jesus already publicly humiliated the enemy, running him up the flagpole, that he has been made a public spectacle of. He has no power. He's a chihuahua barking on the back of a tailgate trying to convince you he's a Great Dane. Amen. Jesus has humiliated him. However, we will live like who we believe we are. So the enemy has one more scheme for us: to delay or to hinder God's goodness and mercy from catching up with us on the path. And you ready? This is the only way he can do it. Get us to leave the path. What do I mean? I mean, we've got a problem that I could only call Christian time travel. We got a problem called Christian time travel because God's goodness and mercy is coming to you on your present path, but we keep revisiting the woes of yesterday and warping ahead to the worries of tomorrow. When the only place grace is actually tangible to experience from God is called today. What do I mean? Christian time travel. We live in the woes of yesterday. Now let me tell you what I'm not saying. What I am not talking about right now is living in unrepentant sin. If there are places where you're living through foolish desires and foolish places you've run, and you're still living them, you're still choosing them, that's not a part of your past, that's your present residence. You brought the pain of yesterday straight into today, and you're given an offer from the God who has goodness and mercy chasing you to let go of that thing because it's never going to satisfy because sin's always going to kill. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about are the losses and the broken dreams and the hope deferred that makes the heart sick, all the would've, could've, should've, that we wish we would have done it differently, that we've taken to the altar 1,000 times. Only to return and forget what we look like and lament all over again. I want you to hear what God says about our yesterday and our sin when we bring it to him. Psalm 103 says this: God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Quick newsflash, we can only see about 4% of the universe, we believe conservatively. Okay? I'll just say this: the heavens are high above the earth. Okay? And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Listen to me. Some of us have a hard time experiencing the goodness and mercy God has for us today because we are still living as debtors trying to pay off the missteps of yesterday. But the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, is anyone in Christ? Yes. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, is anyone in Christ? Yes. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, is anybody in the room in Christ? Yes. It says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. All things have been made new. And I need you to know something. He did it, not you. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death, and he did it, not you. The Bible says that if any of us sin, anybody in the room sin? Says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he does it. All we do is get honest about our missteps. The Bible says this is the confidence we have when our hearts try to condemn us. Anybody have hearts that try to lie to you and condemn you? He said this is the confidence we have. Our God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. He is the one who lavishes us with love. So what do we have to do? We've got to stop time traveling back to yesterday. For some of us, we have the opposite problem. For some of us, we time travel to the worries of tomorrow. We live in a perpetual state of prepping for the other shoe to drop. We're constantly planning and projecting everything that could go wrong. In your head, you've worked through a million what-ifs. Well, if they say this, then I'll say this. And if they do this, then I'll do that. And then if I go into my job and they do this, then my other options will be, come on, anybody there? We project ahead as if our lives are a game of risk and the land that we are on can be taken at any moment at the roll of the dice. So we've got to stay vigilant. We've got to protect it. So we're laying in bed thinking about all the things we need to figure out for tomorrow. And we cannot see God's goodness today because we're too busy and too anxious trying to secure our own goodness for tomorrow. But Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. The same way that I take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, I'm going to take care of you. Jesus says that his mercy is new every morning. You know what that means? That means there's going to be new mercy tomorrow, but you can't live there yet. There's mercy today you need to live in. Mercy's pursuing you today. You don't need to worry about the mercy you might need tomorrow. I want to tell you guys, every time I believe we spend in our heads reliving or lamenting our past, I wish I'd said this, I wish I'd done that, or striving to the million unanswered questions of the future of what we might face, it's like we're hopping into a spiritual DeLorean and buckling ourselves in between Doc Brown and Marty McFly and accelerating to 88 miles per hour to leave out of the only place where grace is going to be tangible today. We've got to stop Christian time travel. God said, today is the day of salvation. Listen to me, somebody. His mercy covers yesterday if you'd simply be honest and surrender. His goodness is setting the table for all you need for tomorrow, but you're not there yet. And by the way, you're not your provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So here are our questions. Where am I not living today? Because I'm stuck lamenting my past. Where is it I'm here today, but I'm not present in my present? Because I'm still living back there. Is it there's something I have to pay off, I have to make right, I need to set free? Or where am I not living today because I'm trapped securing my future? I've actually come to believe I'm my own provider. If that's you, we're going to have hope for you in just a minute. There's one more truth I want to give you. We talked about changing the way we see our present, changing the way we see today, changing the way we see our path, what's ahead of us, where we're going. The last one I want to talk about is changing the way we see the power of our presence. Here's the last truth. If you will let goodness and mercy rest upon you, they will come to reside in you. Then they will remain in every space and soul you've visited long after you've passed by on the road. If you'll let goodness and mercy rest on you, they'll come to reside in you, and then they're going to leave a residue that will remain behind you after you pass by on the road. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a legacy. I'm talking about the way God actually wants to change people and places and culture itself by the way you walk this path. So David's talking, and he's in this interesting place. He says, God is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's with me, and yet the Lord's goodness and mercy are following me. So the Lord is with me, and the Lord is following me. How does that work? And I believe what he's actually seeing is this. It's like a scent of perfume that lingers and stays and rests in the room after you walk through it. It changes the space. So you see, the shepherd has walked through, and every place the shepherd has walked, his goodness and his mercy just follow. They're the train of his robe that go everywhere he's gone. And if he's been there, by the way, Jesus has already been ahead in your tomorrow. That's how he can give you new mercy there. He's already been there. And what's happening is his goodness and mercy are following you today. They're around you as this lingering scent that stays. Now listen to me. In the same way, if you and I would make the decision today to walk with God, and I'm talking to lovers of his presence, amen? We want to walk with God. If we would walk with God today and seek not for ourselves but because we love him, if we yearn for lives that are moral and noble and worthy of our calling, though we're imperfect, what we will find is a scent called goodness will follow and change every room we enter. It'll stay there after we've left. When we let mercy take over in our lives, we become merciful. We become merciful people. We walk forgiving and moved by compassion, and it changes every relationship, and it changes every room. Listen, I need you to understand this. There is an aroma. There's a scent, there's a sound, there's a tone that reverberates in every space you enter, leaving it changed. But here's the key. What you and I will let find us determines what follows us. What we will let rest in us determines the residue that remains. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. You know, we weren't just created to be with God. We were created to co-reign with God. God made us as creatures of tremendous authority. We change things in the created order. It's in our DNA. And by the way, that's true whether you walk with God or not. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned, it had such effect. You remember Adam and Eve sinned? God shows up in the garden. He says to Adam, now you're going to work. You worked before. By the way, work was not a result of the fall. There will be work in heaven. Work is a key part of our purpose before God because you don't want to be a spiritual couch potato. It's great purpose in work. But he said to Adam, now when you work, thorns are going to come out of the ground. Why? Because that was his field of creation. And what Adam let find him is now following him. Adam had become a man full of thorns, and so all the ground could bring up is thorns. Why? Because it changed where he was. He says to Eve, you're now going to have pain in childbirth. Why? Because this is her field of creation, and what she let rest in her is now the residue that she's going to leave after her. God wasn't being cruel and adding a penalty to sin. Sin is its own penalty. Sin kills. But God's good gift is that he gave us more authority than we realize we have. I want to make you a promise right now. You're not invisible. You are changing the fields you are in. There's only one question. What legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you leaving in your family? What legacy are you leaving in your neighborhood? What legacy are you leaving in your workplace? What legacy are you leaving in your church? What legacy are you leaving in your city? What aroma is in your workplace because you're there? Does it look more like hope or does it look more like complaint? What residue is in your family because of your presence? Are they more secure? Are they more apt to believe the promises of Jesus? Are they more anxious and fearful? What about in your neighborhood? Does your street feel more seen and celebrated? Or are you just another one coming through to tell them they're invisible and they don't matter? In your church, here at Overflow, do you find that we grow more in grace because you're in the room, or do we grow more in our grumbling? In our city, is it being changed more for faith or fear, for compassion or criticism, for joy or for judgment? I want you to know, when we understand the power of our presence, it changes how we position ourselves with the spaces and souls we encounter today. We can finally take the eyes off of us because we know the Lord's my shepherd, he's providing for me, and we can take our eyes out onto the fields for the lost that need to come home and join the shepherd. That's why David ends Psalm 23, and we end our series. He finally says this final phrase. He says, all has been said and done. This is what I know. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When all is said and done, when he's seen everywhere the shepherd has faithfully led him, he was able to look at the farthest point in the future. He was able to look to forever and say, you know what I finally know? It's all going to be okay. Because when I understand eternity, the byproduct is serenity. We have a very fuzzy theology about heaven that makes it hard for us to anchor our hope there. If we would just simply understand that the same architect who built this world built that world, and he says, this is the dream, and that's the reality, this is the vapor, that's the forever, this is broken, and that is only beauty forever. If we could just get a glimpse of the world that is awaiting, we would have confident peace today. Now, because that matters so much, I've got a blog post tomorrow that's coming out that's all about this. It's all about actually trying to anchor in eternity and not feel like you're spending all your time just trying to grasp onto a cloud and not be able to get anywhere. How do we actually anchor hope in eternity like David? There'll be new mercy for that tomorrow. But today, I need to ask us one final question. Because today we find ourselves with David. looking out on the field where we are, seeing that our shepherd has been faithful. He's been good to us, yes?
Yes.
Oh, he's been good to us, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And if God has been good to us to get us this far, he will be faithful to get us home. The only thing that is left that is needed for you and I is to choose to be present in the place where we're present. To live today and trust our shepherd in his goodness and his mercy to overtake. And if we will, there's a legacy, there's a residue that will change the very places we walk, because the Lord is our shepherd. Would you stand with me? I'm going to invite our prayer ministers up right now. And this is what I want to do. I'm just going to encourage each person hearing my voice right now. Would you just take your hand and lay it on your heart? It's just a place where we're saying this isn't about anybody else. It's about you and Jesus right now. This is the Father just wanting to speak to you, wanting to speak to your soul, wanting to speak to your heart. We've got prayer ministers that are present up here. And this is what I'm going to ask. Perhaps you've come in today and you're hearing this message and there's a prompt I'm going to give and you're going to say, that, I need that. I'm going to ask, if it happens, if you need somebody to pray with you, that you won't wait another moment, that you'll step out from your seat and just come to one of these prayer ministers even while I'm talking and just say, this is the prayer I need. Maybe you came in this morning like my sister Connie, and there's a place where you were hurting. It's nothing we even talked about today, but there's a burden, there's a need, there's a prayer. I'm going to ask you to slip out from your seat and come right to these prayer ministers even as I begin to share, because we want to pray with you. We want God's power and his mercy to fall upon you. But right now, with your hand on your heart, I want to ask three questions. I want us just to get honest before the Lord for a minute. First question I want to ask you and God, hand on your heart, eyes closed before him. Where do I need to change my perspective about the present? Where do I need to change my perspective about today? Is there anywhere you're going through today and you're like, that's me, I'm grinning and bearing it instead of proudly wearing it? Would you just do this right now, hand on your heart? Would you say, Father, what is good around me today? Would you take a minute and breathe it in? Don't rush past this. God, where do I see goodness around me today? Where have you been good to me? Begin even in your heart before the Lord to speak it out. God, you've been good here. God, you've been good here. Where do you see mercy coming around you today? Place where God says, I want to offer you this. You can't pay for it. You can't work it out. You go, oh, I need it. Would you just pull it down right now? Father, by faith, I receive it. For somebody, hand on your heart, what you need to say is, Jesus, give me grace to be present in my present. And that leads me into my next question. Where are you living in your past? You're here, your body's here, but you're still living back there. And listen, I want you to understand, when I say living in your past, that can just as easy be yesterday's laments and regrets as it can yesterday's wins. Come on, somebody. You're at the place where life used to be awesome. You used to have it figured out. You used to have confidence, but you feel like a king who's lost his country. You don't know where you're going. And you've just been lamenting. You've been blaming yourself. You've been blaming God. You're stuck in yesterday. You need the grace to lay down your past and come back to the present, to see goodness and mercy pursuing you. Come on, if that's you and you need prayer, come to one of these ministers to lay down your past. Where are you walking in shame that you keep just laying things down? You've repented for the same thing 100 times, and you need the grace to hear Jesus say the last words he said on the cross, it is finished, paid in full, nothing more needed. Let it go. Let it go. I pray for somebody hearing my voice right now, you'd hear this, shame off of you in Jesus' name. Shame off of you in Jesus' name. Where do you need to lay down your past? Oh, Father, would you release the grace? Where's it time for you to stop running and let his goodness and mercy just catch you? I want one of you just to see yourselves just sitting down in the field. Like, I'm done. That's it. Not running any further. Not trying to figure it out anymore. Goodness, mercy, come take over. Here's the last question I want to ask. Where is it time to square your shoulders and own the legacy God has called you to? Where is it time to understand the authority you carry in the spaces you enter? Come on, we might have some really bad attitudes going on right now about things in our family or our workplace, things in our church, and the Lord wants you to square your shoulders, head up, say you have more authority than you know. Where is it He wants you to be an ambassador to speak for His goodness, to speak for His mercy? Would you say right now, Lord, I'll take up my place in my family. Come on, somebody hearing my voice, that's what you need to say right now. Lord, I'll take up my space in my family. Lord, I'll take up the place you've given me at my job. Lord, I'll open my eyes in my neighborhood, believing you called me there for such a time as this. God, I won't complain about what's going on in the church or my church, but I'll square my shoulders and see my part. I'll join the other brothers and sisters in the great cloud of witnesses that are seeking you so that it can all be on earth as it is in heaven. Now, with all of that, I want to pray something for you. Because if you heard all of that, that was a lot of questions. And if you heard that thinking you're your provider, you're more exhausted than when you walked in. But when you and I would stop and understand that the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, so we shall not want. We understand that all it takes from us is surrender. So this is the only question I want to ask. Where is God calling you just to surrender? You're struggling with your past, surrender. With anxiety about tomorrow, trying to figure out, just surrender. Not figure it out, not work harder, not write down a plan in your notepad of everything you're going to do from all the cool stuff you learned today. No! Father, I'll stop running. I'll stop figuring out. I'll receive the grace in this moment for your goodness and mercy to catch me. If that's anybody in the room, I just want to pray grace for you. Would you just lift your hands? I just want to pray for you. Father, I ask right now that we not try to run out on fields of our own to figure it out, but I ask that your grace and your mercy and your goodness would fall on your children. Father, we need you. We want to run well. We want to see clearly. We want faith and hope for what's ahead of us. We ask you to open our eyes. We ask you to fill us with peace. We receive your hope. Father, surely your goodness and your mercy are chasing us down, and you're going to win. So we don't fight you today. We say, goodness, take over. Mercy, take over. Father, would you fill us completely and fully? We ask it in your name. Amen.